Thank you, Eric. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffitz, Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. It should be a good one. We're easy to reach with 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. Well, Nikki Haley, the UN ambassador, who has the name of two cheerleaders, is resigning.
Rah-rah, sis boom ba.
She comes in second place. There was a UN ambassador years ago whose name was Bethany Debbie Tiffany. She had the name of three cheerleaders, but now Nikki Haley comes in second. She has the name of two cheerleaders. She's resigning. Everyone's up in arms. No one knows why. It's very mysterious, Wendy. Very mysterious. A couple weeks ago, there's so much that goes on in the news that sometimes big stories come down the pike and they just go unnoticed.
Yeah.
All right, a couple weeks ago, and I know this because they did it here at WGN News, but it wasn't getting a whole lot of play, and I think it should have. It was found out that Nikki Haley was spending $52,700 for her penthouse apartment on curtains. $52,000 for curtains so that they could be worked electronically. You know how a lot of times with curtains, and boy, this takes a lot out of you, you have to go and there's like a string and you have to pull it and then the curtains open, or you pull it again and the curtains close. She didn't want to have to do that. She just wanted to press a button, and they figured out that they could do this for her and it would only cost $52,701.
Did that include skylights? Because that I understand.
Separate. That's separate.
Wouldn't you like to just hit a remote, though, instead of having to throw out your shoulder?
Yes. They determined that the median household income in the area is $32,000. So the apparatus by which she could open and close her curtains would cost $20,000 more than the average median household income there in the area. Seems fair.
Did she pay for it herself?
No, this was going to come out of taxpayer money.
What?
The apartment, I'm trying to find the exact price on what this apartment costs. $58,000 per month.
What?
Again, that's tax money that pays for that. Nikki Haley's apartment, $58,000. They rent it, and the cost is $58,000 per month.
How big is that thing?
It's decent size.
I can't believe that much a month.
But that's one of those stories, like I said, because so much happens that there's almost not even time to digest it. You hear it, and you get either upset by it, or you go, well, you know, she's the UN ambassador. She certainly deserves an apartment that costs $58,000, and you can't expect a UN ambassador to go and pull a string and make your curtains open or close. That's difficult work. You got to have a button to do it, and whatever it costs, by all means, we'll pay for it. It's taxpayer money. Please take our money and pay for it so she doesn't have to make her curtains go up and down. But it's so maddening when you hear stories like that. The cushy perks. And I know everybody's job, you get a perk or two, but that's beyond reproach.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
That's crazy perk.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's ridiculous. So you're not sad to see her go?
Not even a little bit. And she's considered by people who oppose the right wing, she's one of those people you go, oh, there's some good and bad in Nikki Haley. Think about what you pay in taxes every month, and then you find out that that's the kind of thing that money goes for. And I know there's a lot more ridiculous things than that.
That's
but
pretty
it's right
ridiculous,
up there,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
What did the curtains look like? Were they at
Oh, they were stunning. They were beautiful.
With velvet robes.
Oh, so pretty. I wish so badly I had them my own self. All right, I'm going to warn you, there's some stuff on the show today that's a little bit sad, but needs to be discussed. Would you agree?
Absolutely, 100%. We have a breast cancer survivor in the studio to talk about business. We have Tim Ryan, who is from Dope to Hope. This is a man in recovery dude who has helped so many people with addictions, mainly heroin addictions. And he's bringing a special guest with him, a young boy who lost his father.
Yeah.
To a heroin overdose, and he wants to do a run in honor of his dad. No kid should have to deal with a parent dying.
No
parent should deal with a kid dying from heroin.
Very, very sad.
And then we're going to talk about the friend hoax on Facebook, because if I see one more, I got so many private messages like, copy and paste this. You know, if you get another friend request from me, it's so confusing, and it is a hoax.
Yeah. So we'll get to the bottom of it finally.
Yeah.
I know you want to discuss the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination, so we'll get to that at some point. The theory was thrown out that maybe, possibly, and I know you disagreed with this theory, they've run out of people worthy of being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so you can defend or fight against that if you like.
Yes, people defend against it because there are people that should be in that aren't in, right. So they haven't run out of people. It's a crazy way in which they nominate them.
But you have to admit, like in the early days of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which wasn't that long ago, it hasn't been in existence for all that long, almost every name that was thrown out there as a nominee, you go, yeah, they deserve it. Oh, sure, they deserve it. They deserve it. But now it's getting a little watered down.
Well, here's where the problem lies, in my opinion, and we can discuss this further, Father, but it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's not the Music Hall of Fame. There is a Country Hall of Fame.
Right.
I don't know that there's an Alternative Rock Hall of Fame, but it gets diluted, in my opinion.
Right, because there are a bunch of rappers or R&B artists.
Yeah. So
every year there's a couple names you go, are they really rock? I'm not sure that's rock and roll. I'm not positive that's rock and roll.
It falls under the umbrella.
It's music, certainly. It
should be the Music Hall of Fame, then.
Right. All right, so all that and more coming your way next. Stick around. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. All right, so the way this works is every year they put a batch of nominees together for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame located in Cleveland, Ohio. They select the top five. Now, you and I have been doing this for years, and there are years where legitimately, out of the dozen or 14 nominees, you and I say, wow, 9 or 10 of them probably deserve to get in. This year, I'm not so positive, but you tell me. You know more about this stuff than I do.
I don't really. I love it.
Yeah.
I live it.
And?
And I don't know what's what in the whole nomination process. I just remember Steve Miller really having an issue with the whole thing, saying it's so political. They were giving me a ticket, but I wanted to bring my wife, and that was an extra $5,000. And he wanted his band to come, and it was $5,000 per person.
That he would have had to put up,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
They gave him one ticket. They don't even give him a plus one. So he came
and
was whining about how things are done.
Did he still show up for it? He still showed up, right?
I think he did.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
All right. I'll read you the nominees. There are about 14 or 15 nominees. You tell me yes or no. And if you remember, only five get in. Def Leppard?
Nope.
No. All right. Devo?
Nope.
Janet Jackson?
Guess.
You seemed apprehensive on that, yeah? Reggie Jackson.
That definitely.
Mr. October. John Prine.
I love John Prine very much.
In the Rock Hall? Sorry,
yet.
John Prine. Wendy says, no, you can't come in. Kraftwerk.
See, it's so hard to go against what I like. You know what I mean?
I
try to think reasonably. I was watching a special on that Access TV on Kraftwerk, and yeah, they paved the way for this techno music. They were from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a fan.
They can't go in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Kraftwerk. You're out. Kraft Caramels.
Yes.
They should be in there.
Especially this time of year. You can make caramel apples.
LL Cool J.
Why do I?
I know you're
going
to say no.
Well, I don't know. I love LL Cool
Ladies
J.
Ladies love Cool J.
Is that what LL stands for?
Yes. Ladies love.
Is that really it?
Yeah.
You are so street.
Yes, I am. You know, I produced Don Kirshner's rock concert when I was 4 years old. Did you know that?
No, and I
watched
it.
True story.
LL Cool J is a question mark.
All right. I'm putting him down as maybe. If we have room, LL Cool J, you can come in. MC5.
They were up, I believe, last year or the year before. They probably deserve to be in. I don't know about now.
One of the things I use as a barometer is, can I quickly name three hits by the band that's up for nomination? And I can't. I'm sorry to say this. I can't name one MC5 hit. Can you?
No.
So don't you think somebody in the Hall of Fame, it should be readily like brain available to you to be able to just run off three hits without even thinking about it?
I don't know. They were formed in 1964. Psychedelic rock and roll. You know one song. I'm guaranteeing you know one song. I will play it as soon as this commercial goes away. But I guarantee.
Let's say a band has one unbelievably great. Everyone in America knows the song and loves the song. That's just one. Can you be in the Baseball Hall of Fame if you had one good season?
No, I they may have had more songs than... They inspired a genre of rock and roll. Kick out the jams.
I don't let them in. I let them watch the ceremony.
Do you get them a ticket?
Yeah, I give them each a ticket, you know, far back, like second tier, but I wouldn't let them in. Sorry, MC5. You can't come in. MC Hammer can come in.
Is he in already?
I don't know. He should be in. Radiohead?
I like Radiohead and all.
But Hall of Fame material?
I don't know what all the hoopla is about Radiohead. I'm sorry.
I like them. I don't love them.
Yeah, I like them. But they sell out every show. Everybody's crying when tickets go on sale.
But you know how there are a bunch of bands that have a very specific fan base. And if you mention them, people swoon and they go, oh, I love those guys. I see those guys every time they're in town. But Hall of Fame is a different story. It's a whole different level. If you're not a Radiohead fan, I don't know if you're going to vote them into anything. I don't think. So you said yes or no to Radiohead?
I'm saying no.
All right. So far, let the record show, only Janet Jackson is allowed.
And I don't even really want her in there. I just feel like maybe it's her time.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
They can come in.
They have kind of earned it, don't you think?
Yeah. Roxy Music.
I love Roxy Music. Brian Ferry. Oh, God. I don't know.
They're really good, but
they had a bunch of hits.
I enjoy them immensely.
I do, too.
So far, they're the ones, of all the bands we've mentioned, they and Def Leppard are probably the two that I'd put in.
Def Leppard, I guess.
I don't like Def Leppard, but I just think they're Hall of Fame worthy. If you gave me a ticket to see Def Leppard front row, I would go, I got to. I wouldn't even have something, but I'd tell you I have something that night.
You had to wash your hair.
I have my hair washing going on.
All right, put Def Leppard, yes.
They can come in now.
But I don't...
Def Leppard is now allowed in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right.
What's that game, knock, 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 will you let me in, or whatever, that kids game?
Red Rover?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't Leppard think Roxy Music, in. Even though I no? love them.
I'm switching the vote on Roxy Music. All right, they're not allowed in, but Def Leppard can come in now.
Yeah.
Rufus featuring Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan should be in there.
Yeah.
Is she in there solo?
I think they
were up last year, too. I think, yes.
They can come in. All right. Stevie Nicks, all by herself, not with the other Mackers, not with the other Fleetwood Mac kids, just on her own.
She probably deserves it.
I think just being in with Fleetwood Mac should be enough for her. I don't think she'll be too sad if she doesn't get in.
She had a pretty big solo career.
Yeah.
Sounds a little like a goat when she sings.
Yeah. She could be in the goat wing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
She probably deserves it.
So you say yes to her.
She had a lot of hits. If you're basing it on hits,
yeah,
a lot of solo hits for Stevie Nicks.
All right. I put her down as a yes. The Cure?
I love The Cure so much.
So that's a yes?
Yeah, that's just because I love them.
All of a sudden, it's getting busy in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
How many have I picked?
You only said yes to one of the first seven, but now you've said yes to four out of the last five.
So what total?
And you switched your vote on Def Leppard.
They deserve
it. So far, one, two, three. So far, you've let in Def Leppard, Janet Jackson. You're still thinking about LL Cool J, Rage Against the Machine, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, Stevie Nicks, and The Cure so far.
So I'm over my five.
We've got, yeah.
Oh, God. You're over.
And we haven't even mentioned the Zombies yet?
I think, yes, 100%.
It's ironic that The Cure and the Zombies are next to each other, because you would think you put them together, you got no more zombies.
Although
so
they
yes
do
no.
Real life zombies and Robert Smith share the same makeup.
Yes, they do. So yes or no?
I think the Zombies for sure should go in. They had all these hits
zombies
in the 60s.
In. All right.
MC5 paved the way for...
Oh, are you still thinking MC5 gets in?
See, something about longevity, something about... paving the way for a style, a genre of music that others followed. There's something to be said for that.
Right.
Stevie Nicks
and MC5.
Switch Stevie and MC.
All right. Hold on.
No Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks is now out. She's going to be very upset, but you're letting in MC5 now.
Yeah, and I don't want Janet Jackson anymore.
Wow, hold on a second. Janet Jackson now a scratch.
I'm so glad I don't have a ballot. There would be so much whiteout being used.
Todd Rundgren.
Yes, 100% yes.
Even though he was a jerk when we interviewed him?
I don't remember him being a jerk.
He was a jerk.
Well, you asked him about a pretty sensitive thing that just broke in the news.
Right. That Liv Tyler, he believed, he didn't believe, he knew, but Liv Tyler being his daughter or not, I asked him about that. He pretended he didn't know what I was talking about.
Because that was his way of not answering.
Right.
You know, some people have jerky days when a stupid radio DJ asks them a sensitive question.
Maybe.
I think Todd Rundgren should
just
be
for that. When he says, why aren't
grudges.
I in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I'd go, remember the time I interviewed you and you were mean to me about Liv Tyler? Bye. I would do that to him. All right. So far, your five are Def Leppard, MC5, Rage Against the Machine, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, The Cure, The Zombies, and Todd Rundgren. That's a little bit more than five.
I don't know. We need Bertrand here. He used to always say
he's the arbitrator
too.
Of all.
Yeah.
All decisions.
Because we kept track last year, and I don't think any of us got.
No, I did the best
last year.
Oh, you
were pretty close, yeah.
I only missed one.
All right, well, who do you say?
Oh, boy. Well, let's come back.
We have
to take a break, and then I'll give you who my five would be.
Oh, my God, we are out of time.
I know. All right, a quick break, some news, more Show Bill and Wendy WGN. Thanks, Eric. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We have been asked by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Have?
You and I have been asked to select the five winners. You, because you love music. Me, because I'm in a Weezer tribute band called Tweezer, and we're getting a lot of airplay. A lot of airplay.
Tweezer.
There are 15 nominees this year. They only accept five. The nominees are Def Leppard, Devo, Janet Jackson, John Prine, Kraftwerk, LL Cool J, MC5, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Roxy Music, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, Stevie Nicks, The Cure, The Zombies, and Todd Rundgren. Only five are allowed in. Wendy, your five are?
I have eliminated some people. I have added people.
Yeah.
My final answer.
Your
my final
five.
Five.
Final five at five.
Def Leppard.
Yep.
Begrudgingly.
Yep.
Rage Against the Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Rufus with Chaka Khan.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for her. The Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd Rundgren.
Interesting. We share two.
All right.
I only think that three, they let five in, but I only think three are totally worthy of it.
We're not worthy.
Def Leppard, who,
yeah.
Again, I'm not a fan of. And a lot of people have texted in saying, Bill, if you don't want your ticket, because I said if somebody handed me a ticket to Def Leppard, I wouldn't go. You know, many people have said, I'll take your ticket. It was just a hypothetical. No one's actually giving me a Def Leppard ticket.
I'll bet you, though, out of all these bands, we know a lot of words to a lot of Def Leppard songs.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. But really, seriously, let's say they were playing across the street from your house.
I'd go see them.
You would go see them? Yeah.
You are a grandpa.
If
they were across from your house and it was free and you could just walk over, you wouldn't...
No.
Would you open your window to listen to them?
Mm-hmm. I'd yell, keep it down. Keep that racket down, I'd yell. Roxy Music, I'd let them in.
I love them.
I like them a lot.
Big fan, but...
Of the bands on here, they're the band that I like the most. And I know that shouldn't be criteria.
No, because I like The Cure. I would put The Cure in.
The Cure is in there for me. I got The Cure in there. Joel Daly and the Sundowners.
I am 100% behind you.
I've got them in there.
All right, I'll scratch the Zombies for him.
The Bugaloos. I also, aside from Def Leppard, Roxy Music, and The Cure, I let in Radiohead, and I let in Rage Against the Machine. Those are my five.
Okay, I will try and hang on to this.
We'll keep track of these and see who gets in. I'm not sure that those are the five that will get in, but if I was on the voting committee, I don't know what would have had to have happened for that to take place.
An apocalypse.
Right. Where no one else is alive on the planet but me. And even then, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was like, I don't know if we want you to make these decisions. But that's who I would let in.
Oh, you have a connection to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Being in the Major
right.
League 1
so
and
maybe
2.
Maybe based on that, they would let me decide who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Is it the same people all the time that, I mean, I know they do a viewer or listener
right.
Poll and
yeah.
Nomination, but who decides ultimately?
I'm not sure who's in on the thought-making process. I don't know that. Here's a texter who says, you know, Slayer, Iron Maiden, and Judas Priest have never even had a nomination. And I hate to say it, I'm not a fan of any of those three bands, but... That is what rock and roll is.
Yeah.
Is guys like Slayer and Iron Maiden and Judas Priest. So it, if you're them and you go, oh, LL Cool J's up for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and we're not, you know, that
big boycott.
That's kind of crazy. All right, a quick break, and then we'll find out what's going on in the world of technology next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And that music means it is a Tech Tuesday, and sitting in for Bridget Carey this week is Ian Schur, executive editor at CNET. You can find him at CNET.com. Ian, first of all, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Second of all, I have sent you a second friend request on Facebook. Will you approve it? What is going on with this hoax?
So what's happening is that there's this really weird thing going on where people have been convinced that they are possibly being, that people are creating fake accounts with their profile photos and names and sending out friend requests. Now, this has happened. Like, this happened a lot in the last 2 years. But for some reason, it's become really popular to put in your status update, hey, if you posted an update, if you saw me friend request you, that's not me. And this just went viral around Facebook. It's not happening at large amounts right now, as far as I know, but it's been funny to see this kind of go around. So it's a hoax, but it isn't.
But the whole cut and paste thing and put your finger here, I have also read that if you do that, you are continuing the hack. Is there any truth to that?
No. So the whole, if you copy paste the stuff and everything into your status, there's nothing I know of that you can put in your status update that's going to cause any trouble. What the real thing is just simply, it's annoying. That's what it comes down to, right? People hate having the same, seeing the same stuff around. You know, what has to happen eventually is that people need to just learn how to be safe on Facebook. If someone friends requests you and you're like, wait, that's my aunt, I'm already friends with her, check to see that that's actually them. And, you know, I've had my godmother has been impersonated a number of times for some reason on Facebook, and I report it every time, and then Facebook takes it down and it's over.
All right, the best meme I saw on Facebook, this is the best one ever. If you get a friend request from someone named Jeremiah, it's okay, go ahead and accept it. He's a bullfrog, and he's a good friend of mine.
At least people have fun with it, right?
Yeah, everybody has been having fun with it.
Explain how someone can gain from this, Ian. I'm confused as to how somebody's profiting off of this. I don't get it.
Well, what happens is that really it's trying to find suckers, right? So the larger pool of people you can find, the more likelihood that you're going to be able to eventually convince them to either, you know, fix their antivirus, which is fake, or, you know, convince them to give you money. I mean, that's what it always comes down to, right? So that's part of why this stuff is annoying, is that these are very basic attempts at trying to get money out of us. And let me remind you, the only reason this keeps happening is because it keeps working. There are people out there who respond to these things, think that that is my godmother, and then when she asks for money, they're like, oh yeah, it's my godmother, I'll give it to this random PayPal address. And suddenly, there we are.
There was something, this was many years ago, but I was online and I got an instant message that popped up from a friend of mine and said, Wendy, I need your help. I'm stuck in London and they broke into my apartment and took my passport. Yep. Can you send me some money so I can get home? And this was a girl I was friends with in real life, not only on Facebook. So I just did an instant message back going, how could you be asking me for this? I don't know how to get you the money. And it's like, a credit card will do. And I almost fell for it.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff is effective. And that's the thing. These things have been honed over many years and tested all the time, right? There are entire call centers in places like India and in Africa filled with people who are constantly trying to make these scams work. And they have found certain ways to make them work. A favorite one that I've read about is the fake kidnapping, where you suddenly get a call and it says that your, you know, loved one has been kidnapped and they, you know, wire X amount of money or they're going to die. And it's all fake. Yeah. But in that moment, you don't know that, right? And they say, you know, if you hang up and call someone else, we're going to kill. Like, they really know how to get at your emotions quickly and make you make a bad decision. And every time, whenever that stuff happens, it's important to breathe, do your research, make sure that you know who you're talking to before you do anything.
You know who I feel worst for in all this, Ian, is Nigerian princes who really do need $100. And they'll never get it now.
Those poor Nigerian princes, let me tell you.
Sad.
Ian Scher is on the line with us, executive editor at CNET. What are the repercussions of that huge breach that happened with Facebook?
You know, right now, it's really hard to tell. And that's part of the challenge that we have here is that, you know, Facebook announced a couple weeks ago that 50 million people's accounts had been exposed, and that, you know, they reset the logins for 90 million people, including myself, by the way. So I don't even know if I was hacked. And the one of the interesting things is we don't know who did it. We don't know how bad it was. And Facebook is still in the beginning stages of all their research, which is part of what's interesting here. Normally, companies wait until they tell us. But there was this new law that was put in effect in Europe called GDPR, the General Data Privacy Regulation. And what it did was that it required that companies announce when they're hacked within 72 hours. So regardless of what they know, whether or not they know how bad it was or who it was or whatever, they have to tell us in 72 hours. And that's what happened with Facebook. So now we just all have to sit here and say, okay, well, I guess we're going to learn more. Until then, I just kind of sit here and wait and see what Facebook's going to do. It's very weird.
It is weird. We only have a couple of minutes, but there's a big Google event going on today. Tell us about that.
Yep. Yeah, so we have, of course, you know, wall-to-wall coverage on CNET. The big thing is the new phones, right? Google is trying to be a big competitor to Samsung and Apple. And look, a lot of people like the designs of their phones. One of the things that people also like is that the software in them, that Google Android software that powers Samsung and basically everything else that isn't an iPhone, is designed specifically for these phones. So they say it's better in some regards. Google's also announced a bunch of other stuff around the home. You know, one of the big things that everyone's doing, Amazon, Apple, Google, they're all trying to get into our living room, right? And one of the popular things to do now is to build all these types of devices like smart light plugs or in Google's place, a tablet that sits there and can kind of, you know, help you go through recipes if you put it in your kitchen, or help you kind of control your lights in your home. And it's really interesting to see them attempt this type of stuff. We'll see whether it catches on. Google right now is a very distant third in this race, but it could change.
And what's up with Google Plus? I sent you a friend request on that, and you've never answered me. That just fizzled, didn't it?
I'm a terrible friend. Yeah, so Google Plus is actually shutting down, so I don't have to respond to that friend request. Google's finally giving up the ghost after years of trying and, you know, really, I mean, they put a lot of effort in, and it just could never beat Facebook. And what really was the final nail in the coffin was that there was a security hole that they found that lasted for years and exposed all sorts of personal data about the users. And so Google obviously decided, you know what, it's not worth it anymore, and is shutting it down.
It's about time. How's MySpace doing?
Yeah, same question, right? No kidding. Although MySpace still exists, believe it or not, there are MySpace pages out there.
I still have one, Bill. I'm sure you still have one.
I don't know if I do. Maybe. I might still have one. Ian, a quick question about the new phones that come out every 25 or 30 minutes. When are we going to realize we don't need a new phone every 25 or 30 minutes? They're not that dramatically different.
You know, the question is, when is it going to go to 15 minutes? You know, look, I think the challenge is that part of the thing is that Apple has cornered the market in the high-end phones. I mean, they make almost all the profits in the entire industry. It's shocking. And Samsung is everything else, right? They have become the big leader in everything that's not an iPhone. But people still want in. At Google, you know, by not having a phone they sell, they have less access to our information. They have less information about us, which means their advertising doesn't work as well. So there's every incentive for Google to try. And I'm not saying it's effective. I'm not saying it works. But there's a lot of logic behind these companies continuing to try to get you to buy something that's not a Samsung or an iPhone.
All right, and we have a warning from a listener who just texted us from 563 area code. Don't accept a friend request from Lizzie Borden. Her account was hacked.
There you go.
So were her parents.
Good point. Ian, thank you so much on this Tech Tuesday. Ian Schur, executive editor at CNET. You can go to CNET.com or follow him on Twitter at Ian Schur. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That was Ian Schur. How about that? All right, a quick
break. Don't you like the Lizzie Borden and the Jeremiah was a bullfrog one, too?
Yeah, those were great. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news for you, and then there's a lot more show after that.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Thank you, Eric. It is Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we have a special frequent guest in the studio with us, a man who has motivated many people. You basically went from dope to hope.
Yeah.
I always have to think about that. I don't want to do it in the reverse order. From dope to hope. His name is Tim Ryan. You can go to amaninrecoveryfoundation.org. Tim, it's been a long time. We haven't talked to you in a while.
You guys were moving studios.
Oh, right.
Bill was vacationing in Maine.
Yes, all true. We have you up with frequency for a very important reason. The opioid epidemic is just getting worse and worse and worse. And you know, people like you are out there trying to change all that, and we appreciate that.
Well, and I appreciate the airwaves. You know, on the way in, I was talking with Keegan and his mother here, who you'll meet in a minute. You know, you guys have helped assist over 300 people into treatment from the airwaves of this show. And we got to talk about it. We got to drop the stigma. Everybody knows someone that's affected by addiction, whether it's alcohol, it's benzos, it's Xanax, it's opiates, it's fentanyl. But it is getting worse. And we
stress this almost every time you're up here. The ending to this story is rarely, if ever, good.
Yeah, you got three options. You either put your hand up and ask for help and get into recovery and live recovery, you're going to end up dead, or you're going to end up in a prison cell. That's your three choices.
Those aren't very good.
No. No, but, you know, I was just out at a sober festival last week in Providence, Rhode Island, that Macklemore headlined, who's in recovery. There was 14,000 people there in recovery.
Yeah.
Saturday night, I was in Kansas City, Missouri for the Oxford House World Convention. There was 1,600 people there. The fastest growing movement in the world right now is the 12-step-based programs. You know, there's over 23.5 million people in long-term recovery, but they hide in the rooms. They don't talk about it. So we need more people in long-term recovery coming out and talking about it to be part of the solution today.
And the talking about it is key because, as you mentioned, we all know someone who is dealing with some kind of an addiction, and there's so much shame involved. A lot of times people don't come forward to ask for help. A parent will say, you know, they don't want to admit that their son or their daughter is an addict. That shame has got to be erased.
It does, and the families get their emotions involved, and that's why you need to call somebody like me, or we'll get the right resources. And I had a lady at a book signing event for a friend of mine, Sandy Swenson, last night, who wrote a book, Joey's Song, about her son who's still in active addiction. And this lady said, Tim, 2 years ago I called you. My son was sentenced to prison. I was ready to commit suicide. I didn't know what to do, and you talked to me for an hour and a half. And she said, you talked me off ledge that day, and I just want to thank you. And it's crazy the way these things get thrown at me. Another mother came up to me last night and said, I reached out to you 2 years ago to help my son, but I didn't take your suggestions, and unfortunately he passed away. You know, that's just a reality.
It's not what you want to hear.
No.
Right away, let's get out your phone number and where people can reach you. If they're listening right now, they may not want to call in. We have some special guests in the studio as well. What's the number?
888-677-1646 is Transformations Treatment Center, or A Man in Recovery Foundation is 844-611-HOPE, www.amirf.org, or transformationstreatment.center.
You've brought a special guest in studio with you. Keegan Hernandez is here. Keegan, first of all, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. How old are you?
I'm 11.
Missing school today?
Yep.
Yeah, but for a very, very good cause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about 3 months ago, it was a Sunday, and I received this phone call. And it was Keegan. And I had an 11-year-old kid reach out to me, and he said, is this Mr. Tim Ryan with Man Recovery Foundation? I said, yes. He said, well, I did some research, and I'm putting on a 5K walk run, and we want to have the money raised for your foundation. I'm like, God, that's awesome. Why? And he said, my father died from a fentanyl overdose. This is an 11-year-old kid who lost his father less than a year ago, who is a major part of the solution today. I wish to God more people would have the cojones that this kid does. And I love him like a brother. I love him. And this is Keegan Hernandez.
Keegan, if you wouldn't mind, and I know relaying the story is probably very difficult for you. I get that. Tell us a little bit what happened with your dad.
Well, I never found out that, like, he struggled with addiction until he passed away, but,
So he kept it quiet?
Yeah, we kept it quiet, because eventually he would have told us, but, he started in high school, he was in and out of rehab, and then, he finally got, like, out of rehab, he was doing good for, like, 2-3 years, and then, he went behind our backs for, like, we don't even know how long, and then just overdosed one night, and then passed away.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine you pulling that together. Your mom is here, too. Leah, hi.
Hello.
What a strong son you have.
Yeah, I'm just super proud of him every day. You know, the way he can just speak so openly about it and share his story, I think, is incredible.
Keegan, so you're speaking openly about this because you don't want this to happen to any other kid. Is that why you're doing this?
Yes.
It's not fair. It's not right. I bet you went through a lot of emotions. You were probably mad at your dad.
I had, like, so I have, like, three perspectives when it comes to, like, my dad's death. Well, one, I'm happy that he's in a better place. And then two, I'm mad that he decided to cope with his bipolar by doing that. And then three, I'm sad because I won't get to see him.
You are way above your 11-year-old age. I got to tell you that. That's pretty amazing.
I mean, it's... The kids rocked me. And on the way here, I mean, this 5K run we're putting on, or Keegan's putting on, October 27th. Where is it at?
It's at Waubonsie Lake in Aurora, Illinois. You can find it on eventbrite.com.
Yeah, or you can go to Rai Rai.
Oh, yeah, 5K run for Rai Rai on Facebook.
On Facebook. And all the money's being raised to a Man in Recovery Foundation. We don't have any employees. We'll use that to pay for people to get into long-term treatment or pay for people to get into sober homes. But on the way here, he says, all right, well, after the run, I want to talk about getting a support group together for kids that have lost parents to the disease of addiction.
That's fantastic.
Do you know other kids that have lost a parent?
No.
Yeah, you do. There's one standing right there.
Oh, yeah.
Or a brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or someone in their family.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be this way. We're talking about it. We're trying to talk about it more, and yet it still keeps happening. How did you get in touch with Tim? How did you know about Tim? How did you know to call him?
Well, my mom gave me, like, options, and then I was like, well, this guy had gone through what my dad had gone through, and I was like, well, it's kind of inspiring, so I was like, let's pick him.
And you knew right away, you said, I want to keep my dad's spirit and memory alive by doing an event. Is that how this started?
Yeah, and also just bring awareness.
Keegan, you mentioned that your dad hid this from yourself and from your mom. Was there ever a discussion about it between you and your dad of any kind? Not
no,
at all.
I'm pretty sure he didn't think I was, like, ready to, like, know all about it.
But are you ready?
Yes.
An 11-year-old is old enough to talk about this and learn about this.
Yeah.
I think it's important that you know and talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, it is. You know, when I speak across the country, sometimes I'll be speaking to middle school, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Keegan's in 6th grade. And if you go back to when we were kids, stranger danger, don't talk to strangers, they need to be educating kids about the disease of addiction and the reality of this out of the gate. Not just a little one-hour talk once a year. This is the number one killer in the United States for people under 50 years old is opiate overdoses. You know, 179 people a day. 2016, 3 million people died from alcohol. The benzos, the Xanax are off the hook, and it's just getting worse. This weed today, it's high grade, it's potent. And when I speak in schools, 90% of the kids are smoking weed.
Let's do
Kyle, can I just say, Kyle, if you could mention your father's name, because
Keegan.
Keegan.
You called him Kyle.
I'm sorry, Keegan. Mention your father's name, a 5K run for...
Rai. Well, that's what me and my family used to call him, but his name is Ryan.
Nice. It was a fun nickname.
Yeah.
Rai.
That's what everybody called him.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll discuss this further. Tim, if you could, give out the information again that people need to know.
www.amirf.org. If you need help, you can either call 844-611-HOPE or 888-677-1646 at Transformations Treatment Center.
All right, we'll pick this up in just a minute. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Tim Ryan, a man in recovery foundation. Tim Ryan in the studio with us. I want to get some business out of the way right away. People can reach you how? Because we always run out of time when you're here.
People can reach me at 888-677-1646 or 844-611-HOPE. www.amirf.org or shoot me an email, tryan@amirf.org.
And 11-year-old Keegan Hernandez of Aurora is with us, and you are putting together a 5K run in memory of your father, Ryan.
Yes.
And why don't you give all the details out on that right away?
You can find it on eventbrite.com. There's also a Facebook page, and it is at in Aurora, Illinois at Wabonzi Lake.
And it's first annual 5K run for Rye Rye, is that
yes.
it? I was talking to your mother, Leah, off the air, and I had asked you, too, were there any ideas that your father was doing drugs? You probably had no idea.
No.
And, Leah, you were saying how he had gone into recovery and had been sober for how long?
For close to 3 years.
For 3 years. He was just about ready to get his master's degree?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Yeah. And so this goes to show you that it's a lifelong recovery, and I think we all fail to realize that. Would that be correct, Tim?
Absolutely. Recovery is a way of life. It's not just going to meetings. You know, go to a meeting if you want to feel good. Work the 12 steps if you want to have a life. But there's so many broken. Our system's broken. Treatment, 3 weeks, you're out the door. You're setting people up to fail. No long-term structured sober living homes. Communities don't want them. We don't want those people in our neighborhood.
And I imagine therapy is probably quite important as well.
Absolutely. But here's the problem. I brought up my wife, Kirsten, who is in recovery but is also bipolar. She sees a psychiatrist plus a therapist every week. I have great insurance. Guess what? They don't take my insurance, so I have to cash pay for that. And I'm in the position to do that, but what about the families that aren't? And the families, you know, like Lutheran Social Services, Haymarket, two great centers here I use in Chicago all the time. Sue at Lutheran Social Services just sent me a text on the way in. We have 10 open male beds right now and 2 female beds open immediately. So they will take people without insurance, state insurance, Lutheran Social Services right here in Chicago. They'll detox you.
The problem is you have a kid or a spouse or a sibling with an addiction and you don't know where to turn. You don't know about these open beds.
See, that's why people come. They don't know what to do. They go to Google, they find the first place, you know, palm trees, swimming pools. A lot of it's smoke and mirrors. So do your homework. Even if you talk to me and you're going to Transformations Treatment Center, ask to speak to the clinical director. Do they have an addictionologist? How many master level clinicians? Are they doing trauma therapy? Get down to the causes and conditions. You know, we have a first responders program at Transformations, and we're at a huge conference down in Orlando right now. I'm sick and tired of seeing these our brothers and sisters in blue putting a gun to their head and killing themselves. It's heart-wrenching, and it's a matter of getting people to put their hand up and ask for help.
Keegan, I know you've been through a lot, and it's so unfair, but do you have a message for anybody who's going through what you've gone through?
Or any dads or moms that are listening right now that may have an addiction, a little message for them.
Well, once you think about it, raise your hand. Don't just keep it a secret because that'll just hurt you even more. It'll hurt your mom.
Amen.
Hurt you mentally.
Your dad would be very proud of you.
Thank you.
We're very proud of him. I love this kid.
I can't believe you are only 11. I really can't. You are so mature.
Thank you.
He's intelligent, too. The conversations we had on the way here, he's way above my pay grade. I mean, you know, I'm a bottom feeder.
No one's disagreeing with him, Keegan. Did you notice
Thanks.
That?
I appreciate
when Tim
that.
Said that, we all nodded. Yeah.
Now, I hope a lot of people show up. It's October 27th. It's a Saturday, 8 a.m. to noon, Wabonzi Lake Park in Aurora. That's 998 Couts Road in Aurora. There's a Facebook page you can go to at First Annual 5K Run for RyRy. If there are people that can't run, is there some way they can make a donation?
Yeah, just go to either Eventbrite or go to AMIRF.org.
A Man in Recovery Foundation.
Yeah, I think we've already raised almost $9,000. $9,000.
Good.
I mean,
you didn't know that? You
weren't aware of this? I'm happy.
I mean, it gives me goosebumps because what people don't realize, the money has come from my speaking events, from memorial funds, a couple small grants, the Kalish family, William Blair. They sponsor an event for the Naperville Half Marathon, and I think we're at $23,000 for that. I've got an 11-year-old kid here. We're going to top $10,000. Let's make some donations and kick it to 20, because that'll be 20 families we can get on the road to recovery. That's what it's all about.
Keegan, I am so glad you called Tim Ryan. He was the guy to call for sure.
Yep.
You're in sixth grade, you mentioned.
Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up? If you grow up, because Bill has yet to grow up.
It's coming.
I have no idea.
I don't know yet.
My mom wants me to be a doctor, though.
Oh, to help other people.
Yeah, but...
I thought you wanted to be a real estate investor.
Well, they do make a lot of money.
You'll do fine.
Yes.
You'll do more than fine.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It means a lot to us, means a lot to the listeners, and you're really helping a lot of people.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
All right, first annual 5K run for RyRy is Keegan Hernandez's event. You can also go to eventbrite.com. And Tim Ryan, once again, there are so many people that want to talk to you. We always run out of time. Phone number and website.
888-677-1646, 844-611-HOPE, www.amirf.org. Transformations Treatment dot center, or shoot me an email, tryan@amirf.org.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys.
Love you
really
guys.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Love
Thank
you, back.
You for having me.
Absolutely.
Keegan. Leah, you too.
Thanks, Thank Leah. You. Quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Eric. It is Bill Leff. It is Wendy Snyder, and we're on 720 WGN. And it is it Breast Cancer Awareness Month? I think it is. And our guest in the studio with us right now is Christia Donaldson, founder and CEO of Thank God It's Natural, TGIN. It's a line of hair and skin products made with all natural ingredients. Christia, first of all, thank you so much for coming down.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Wendy. It's great to be here.
You're a breast cancer survivor.
I am 2 years cancer free, so yes.
You kicked cancer's ass. Congratulations.
I totally did.
And you want to help other people. Explain how Thank God It's Natural came about.
Sure. So long story short, almost 15 years ago, I graduated from law school. And back then, how would I put this? Straight hair was totally everywhere. It was the way to be professional. And so when I was starting work at my law firm, I wanted to wear my hair curly, but there weren't really products available in mainstream retail outlets that catered to this hair type. And so I went on to invent them for myself so that I wouldn't have to chemically straighten my hair anymore. And so that's how Thank God It's Natural came to be.
Good for you. You're doing pretty well. Multi-million dollar company.
Yeah, trying to. It's a lot of work. So
we're just going to adjust your microphone a little
bit.
There's something wrong with that microphone.
Is there a reason that the products you were looking for were not available at that time?
Well, what am I missing? No, the thing about it is they weren't available because everyone was kind of trying to fit one type of beauty standard, which was like straight hair, long, straight, silky hair. And curly hair wasn't just viewed as being profitable. It was just easier for everyone to look the same. And so that's why they weren't really available on the market.
All right.
Congratulations on your company.
Thank you.
You obviously can speak from experience. You said 2015 you were diagnosed?
Correct. I was 36 at the time. I'm 39 now.
You started treatment in 2016. Had you been getting mammograms?
I had not, because what the situation is, when you're under 40, your breast tissue tends to be so dense that it's not effective at reading. But when young women do go to the doctors and they cite some type of concern, generally the doctor's first inclination is, if they don't have a family history of breast cancer, their first inclination is, oh, it's something hormonal or this is an abnormality. Some doctors will push and require you to get a mammogram, but it's not something women are are required to do regularly under the age of 40.
And you don't think about it. It's like we were talking off the air. It's something that you think about that older women
right.
get.
We definitely, myself personally, and kind of the people that I've talked to along this journey who were diagnosed under 40, were in complete shock, because you always think of it as a disease or a condition that someone is afflicted with when they're like in their late 40s or 50s or even in their 70s. But you don't think you're going to meet people who are diagnosed with this at 22 or 26.
Family history or no family history?
No family history. Nothing. At all. So this was a complete surprise.
Go ahead.
When the doctor tells you the news, the unfortunate news, your thoughts are what?
You totally like black out, and for a second there, you think you're going to die, because you think, even though you see people being cancer survivors, it just comes out of nowhere. Particularly, I had a healthy lifestyle. Like, I didn't eat meat. I worked out regularly. So you feel like you've done everything right, and still you're sitting here with this diagnosis. But I do think everyone, at some point, it crosses their mind. Like, you're like, this is it.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not fair when you take care of yourself. Cancer does not discriminate
sure
at all.
It doesn't.
About 40 years ago, my grandmother had breast cancer. It wasn't very common back then.
Okay.
And they had performed a mastectomy, and she had chemo. And back then, they used radiation frequently, but they weren't quite sure of exactly how to use it. And she actually suffered from severe radiation burns, because they were kind of experimenting on what you do with it. It has come so far in the last 40 years.
It definitely has. Like, the treatment is definitely customizable. I think probably 40 years ago, they viewed cancer as this general thing, but now we have hormonally positive, hormonally negative. And so every kind of treatment plan is customized to the patient, to their cancer, to their DNA. And so it's so many more advancements now. And like they say, if you catch it early, particularly stage one or stage two, you have a 95% chance of survival after 5 years. So that's
pretty great odds.
Yeah, that's really great odds.
Is there a discussion at some point of options of what plan of action to take, or was that not part of the discussion?
Well, there is, because it's funny, along this journey, particularly as a young woman, I thought my experience would mirror every other young woman. But, you know, there are people who are like, I'm not doing chemo. I want to, you know, go the natural route. When you're young and you're diagnosed with cancer, even as a child, they want to be as aggressive as possible because your lifespan is so much longer. So when you're 36, they're like, we want to do chemo, we want to do radiation, and we want to do surgery. If you're 76, they may just say, this is a slow growing tumor. You're 76. We don't really have to do anything, but we could do radiation. We could do surgery. But generally, chemo, after a certain point, they're like, your life expectancy is so much less that they don't feel the need to do it. So there was a discussion, but it's really up to the individual as to what they're going to pursue.
Yeah.
How important is a positive mental attitude when you're fighting
cancer? So I tell people, when I was first diagnosed with cancer, I was total cancer patient. Most people feel that way because you have so many tests, so many appointments, what have you. And then there was a turning point where I had a meeting with Target where I had to give this presentation, and I was so nervous, even though I normally don't get nervous. And when I finished the presentation, they're like, that was the best presentation we heard all day. And for me, it taught me that I had to view myself more than a cancer patient. I had to say, I'm a daughter, I'm a best friend, I'm a businesswoman, I love watching Real Housewives of Potomac. Like, I had to like accept all of these things and kind of go back to living my life and just accept that cancer was a part of me, but it wasn't all of me.
Right. That's a good point. We have to take a quick break, and then we will continue speaking with Christia Donaldson, founder and CEO of Thank God It's Natural, TGIN. It's a line of hair and skin products made with all natural ingredients. What is the website and social media for people
to
check out?
The website is thankgoditsnatural.com, and the social media handles on Instagram is TGI Natural.
Perfect. Quick break. It's Bill. It's Wendy at 720 WGN. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, and Christia Donaldson is in the studio with us, breast cancer survivor. What I wanted to talk to you about was your website. There are so many things going on. You can go to thankgoditsnatural.com. Black women in Chicago are 42% more likely to die from breast cancer. That's a fact?
Yeah, that's a fact, and that's also nationwide, but it's like, it's not attributable to race. It's more attributable to socioeconomic factors. So people don't understand that when black women, as well as underinsured or uninsured women, face some of the similar challenges. challenges, which is, you know, when you think cancer treatment, but no one thinks about the cost of childcare or the fact that going to Northwestern, it costs $14 a day to park when you have to go 60 times, maybe more in a single year, or things like having the ability to take time off from work to rest after your treatments, or just having to choose or make choices between your medication and your rent. So these are kind of some of the socioeconomic factors that contribute to why those disparities exist in Chicago. But in places like New York, that number actually drops to 19%. And in San Francisco, it's 0%. So
well, how do we fix that? There must be some way to change it or fix it, huh?
So I think in terms of the fixing it, we're working to do that with my foundation. As one is a little bit of it has to do with awareness. Two, it has to do with putting people in touch with the resources that allow them to not have financial barriers to their treatment. And then thirdly, there's some things with respect to government. There's some systemic issues within our healthcare system that impact these disparities. So like at a hospital like Northwestern, a radiologist has been fellowship trained. So they may look at 10,000 breast imaging a year. That's all they do. But if you live on the south side and go to a safety net hospital, your radiologist may look at broken bones, arthritis, slip disc, and breast cancer. So those are some of the challenges. I'm not going to say that can't be fixed, but there are higher barriers given how segregated the city of Chicago is in terms of its health care.
Mm.
There's a picture of you without your hair, and you're still beautiful.
Thank you.
Still
I'll
beautiful.
It. I'll take it.
Thank God it's natural.com, and portions of the proceeds are going to benefit whom?
So one organization will be the Metropolitan Chicago Breast Cancer Task Force, and what they do is, again, help subsidize mammograms at the safety net hospitals, as well as provide women with breast navigation services at safety net hospitals on the south and west side. And why those breast navigation services are so important is that at a Northwestern, you have several breast navigators on duty. So when you're overwhelmed and you don't know what, you know, adrenomycin is or when to take your medication or whatever, there's always someone you can pick up the phone and call and get information from. Whereas at some safety net hospitals, they don't have those resources. And so we want to help finance that to, again, start chipping away at some of the disparities that exist.
Christy, after you've been through something like this, after you've gone through cancer, how do you view life differently than before?
Amazing question. I think I am just so grateful for my health and to wake up every day. And then two, I live life feeling like I have more than enough. Like when you're pre-cancer and very ambitious like I was, and I think I still am, but it was always about having more, whether it was like more accomplishments or more stores or more sales. And now on the other side of that, I'm just like, I'm good. I have my health and everything else. I'm like, I have enough. And yeah.
So now you want more life.
Yeah, just more life, more years. I'll take that, you know? So I think that's kind of my change or shift in perspective. Yeah.
We were talking off the air about the way breast cancer is treated now. These 3D mammography, and I believe sometimes there's 4D, isn't mm-hmm. there? They can find something as small as like a little pinprick, and that's the key, is get a mammogram every year. I checked my date book. I'm due November 10th, so I'm going to do it. Another thing is if you do get a diagnosis, it's not necessarily a death sentence, but there's something we discussed off the air about paying for it, something maybe people aren't aware of.
Yeah, so one thing I don't think people are aware of is that many hospitals offer payment plans, and it doesn't necessarily matter what your financial status is. You could be like, you know, extremely, you know, less fortunate, or you can be extremely wealthy, but hospitals, and it doesn't require any like real paperwork. You just get a bill in the mail and you're like, hey, can I put this on a monthly payment plan? That could be $200. That could be, you know, $5,000, and they're more than willing to work with you. So you could pay $25 a month, no interest for like several years. You just have to be willing to ask for that option. But Northwestern now is required, I guess, by their board of directors to have people sign a consent saying that they're aware of the financial assistance that they can offer.
A lot of people would just freak out and ignore it.
Yeah,
ignore
and then
the
collections
bills.
Comes, yeah. And then, it, you know, you don't have to find yourself in that situation just by picking up the phone and just saying, hey, I'm going to send you some money. I just want to spread this bill out monthly.
All right. The website is thankgoditsnatural.com. And you're on Facebook, Christia TGIN Donaldson.
Yes, I am.
Also look for her on Twitter and Instagram. What's your handle?
Sure. TGIN CEO. And you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
first and foremost on your health.
Thank you.
Cancer free.
Yes.
Love it.
Thanks.
And congratulations on your business.
Thank you so much.
That I did that second.
I'll take it.
It's a good running order, isn't it? Thanks, Christina. Greatly appreciated. We'll take a quick break. We're headed toward the stream. Come join us on the stream. It's a lot of fun. Or stick around here for the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon, I believe, from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.